So
But if
why
you're
can't
actually
we issue
looking
our
at a
staff
actually,
orders?
well, if you're looking at back at taking a mass portion, right, this whole area by the harbor back, and to redevelop it, maybe build up the infrastructure
Oh
for
no, I'm not
harbor.
looking at rebuilding it. I'm looking at assuming if they take the houses off, they take the houses off. If they don't take the houses off, they are off. I'm assuming they are livable. Why don't we make those available to DLNR staff? I have got people at DAR, at DOFAR, at DOCARE, who
Oh, so
we
you're
can.
talking about a project that is not open to the general public, but basically,
Right, not open. It's open to DLNR staff. We don't have to do, we
I
don't
don't
have to
know.
make a
I don't know.
decision today, but I want you to think about it. Because we need to have some incentives to retain good staff and bring new staff on board. Workforce housing is one of the issues. DOE is doing it for teachers. The hospitals are doing it for their nurses. So I look at us as being, we're in the land management issue and we've got available lands. I've got the county asking us for these parcels. I've got, DHHL. Why can't we make these available to DLNR staff? Again, no decision. I want the
Again,
land
we're
board to
not a
begin to
housing
think about it.
agency, but I think that's something we can
Okay.
think about and certainly to work with the AGs about, because I
Okay.
know that
Okay.
we
Just thinking about it.
ethics questions and stuff.
Okay. Like I said, transformational. Go ahead, Amy.
Yeah, can I ask a question, just Russell, based on something you said earlier, about just the cost that that you and the team absorb to administer all of these RPs? And I think somebody said it was maybe like $40 a year per
No.
RP. Or,
No.
okay.
The $40 a month is the minimum rent policy established by the board
Right.
before 2005, before anything. Yeah, over
Right.
20 years ago. And it was based on a informal internal study about what the minimum amount of staff time it takes to do the minimal amount of work, meaning bill monthly to collect the rent monthly, deposit the checks, and monitor the insurance and bonds that annually expire, and send out notices of default, et cetera, which we do
Yeah.
monthly. Yeah. So all of that stuff was taken into account, but that was separate. That was just the minimum rent policy for those that qualify for minimum rent. This one would be not necessarily fall under that category, but it is just the general maintenance of a revocable permit. Yeah.
I guess what I was, getting at or trying to understand was, and just in thinking about the budgetary needs of the department is whether it would make sense going forward for department to be assessing, in addition to rent, some base fee for the administration of the RPs that would go directly to the work that it requires for you guys to do to do all of this. Because I see it, the rent is covering. Is paying for, is compensating the state for the value of the use of the property. And we're sort of taking out of that what it costs for you to administer the program. And so I guess what I'm asking, maybe in a sort of novel approach way, similar to the chair, is whether they're going forward, whether it might make sense for there to be some sort of either fixed fee or a proportion or fraction or, of
Yeah.
the rent.
To me, that sounds like a common
Costs.
area charge that you might find when you're leasing
Yeah.
office space, yeah, like a building where the landlord owns the building, maintains the building,
Except
insures the
you are
building.
the common area. You are the common
No, but
resource
I'm talking
to
about the
administer the.
usually
Yeah.
these, all of these, like even these right now, the RPs, they're the owner, the land is being leased. And a lot of it, all of our stuff, a lot of it started with land, and then the tenant builds the improvements. Yeah. Like in this case, they did. And they actually, at the end of the term of the lease, we had them pay for the existing structure in addition to that. So they clearly owned it, in addition at the end of the lease. But because we wasn't sure how long the DOT was going to take. That sounds like that's what I'm saying is like I think if we had a structure like a building, a multi-tenanted building that we're operating, we'd have to do all of the management of that, maintain it, insure it, do all of that, and we can pass that on usually in common area charges. Is that what we do here at Land Division? No, we're not experts in building management. We're land agents, not property managers per se, and so we typically lease the land, and that's why you see historically that's how we've done it. If we wanted to shift into that other area, it'll be a whole different skill set. I think, well, a slightly different skill set, but a change in a lot of the leases, lease
Yeah,
form, it'll be a major change. Yeah, but
I get what you're saying. I think what I'm saying is slightly different, which is how can
charge
we
them
make
an
sure that
excess premium.
we're recovering the costs of administering the program in addition to the rent. But yeah, gotcha.
Appreciate the thought. I mean,
And I think, Russell, the fact the legislature last year passed a bill authorizing the land division to charge for property management fees so that you can hire out a third party. Isn't that correct? I thought they hired so that you
an
can do
inspection,
to ensure maintenance, to ensure that they're in compliance, that was the bill that.
they passed the bill out about specifically that included a professional inspector to help us to look more looking at the building condition because often our land agents are not engineers, so when they go out and inspect, they're not able to determine the condition of a building per se that might need a roof change or something else in there. So that was added, and it could be the cost could be passed on to the tenant, but not necessarily the property management side of it. Yeah.
I just look at this for approximately 2/10 of for 0.180, they're paying $600 a month for residential property with the house in Hilo Bay, which in my view is a prime location. And I'm not too sure how many mortgages you can get away with $600 a month. So no decision has to be made today. I just want the land division to think about it.
Again, up until this point, it was a hands-off for us in this area, but we'll take it today as a meeting from the Department of Transportation that they're releasing these properties. And so, because up until this point, we were told this is expressly being held for Department of Transportation in connection with their harbor modernization plan. And this is decades, like decades of.
Right. So I just checked with Dre. They'd have no intention to use this, if at all, 20 to 30 years from now.
So you're looking at a lease of 20 to 30 years.
Or we could do RPs to staff. We could just change it from Electrical Workers Local 1260 Building Trust, who has the RP 7875, to a deal in our staff. Just think about it. I just want to float that idea. Okay. Just floating the idea. Just floating the idea. But we need to start figuring out incentives so I can retain staff. With that, and I'm the only one who's suggesting it. So it may be an outlier here, but I would like Land Division to think about it. Because as I looked at the Kauai, Maui, a lot of those RPs, they do include a resident, and yet we are doing an RP. So, no other questions?
Need a motion?
Yep, need
I
a
move that
motion.
we approve agenda item D2 as recommended by staff.
Okay.
Second.
There's been a motion has been made and seconded twice to approve item D2 as recommended by staff. All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Okay, motion passes unanimously with
I think
seven
KUV
votes.
is back on, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, and let the record reflect KUV units back on. We'll move on to item D5.
Okay, D5 is a request for to the board that we allow a federal interest. It's in connection with a grant that Hilo Hospice, one of our lessees, our non NGOs, our nonprofits, was able to obtain for some improvements to the building. My understanding is it's about the air conditioning. They're going to be replacing the air conditioning work. So they're requesting to put a federal lien on the property. And that's similar to, instead of a mortgage, like a private sector guy would get a mortgage to fund it. Here they're getting a federal grant. The funding agency would like to see a lien on the property to make sure the property is used for the intended purpose here for Hilo Hospice and helping that community for the next several years until the life of the improvement. And this is for the replacement of the air conditioning system. And I see we have the tenant representative available if you have any questions.
All right, I see. Oh, is that Mr. Tom Ye?
Chair.
Okay, yes, go ahead.
I just want to disclose that Mr. Ye, who's a board member of Hospice, is also a consultant for my company.
Okay, thank
And it
you.
will not affect my ability to vote objectively on this item.
Very good, thank you. Mr. Ye, would you like to provide any comments?
Yes, thank you. And good afternoon, and aloha, members of the board and Chair Chang. For several years now, while I've been on the board, the issue of the cost of operating this somewhat antiquated AC system that's in the Pohai Malama facility has been a big subject since it's been draining funds from the facility. And so for a couple years now, we've been planning to install a replacement AC system with separate units. It'll be much more efficient and less costly to run. Since the board's last meeting approving the conversion of the facility to allow for additional uses, including adult residential care, we've had several breakdowns in the AC system. Lori Jordan is waiting to testify also if needed, but she has been working on getting funding from the Fed for a couple years now. So very recently, they did approve an award of about $1.2 million to do this replacement. And so thank you for putting it on the agenda. There are a couple things that the board is being asked to approve. One is to approve the chair to sign the landlord consent letter, which itself contemplates amending the lease to accommodate the federal request to be designated as having an interest in the property. That interest, as I understand, will continue for the life of the system. And all the Fed wants to do is just to be notified if there's any defaults, just to make sure they have an opportunity to step in and correct anything. There's a second item too, which is authorize the chair to approve or execute a notice of federal interest, which, as I understand, Hospice of Hilo actually needs to be the recording party, but we will certainly, work with the chair to make sure the form is consistent with what you folks want to have recorded. The main clarification that I wanted to inform the board about is there's a portal that Lori Jordan can talk about that says the deadline for submitting the landlord letter of consent and getting it signed and sent to the ward to the grant program is actually going to be November 16 of this year. So we just want to make sure that that first item that must be done is signed off and submitted so that we can get this submitted by that date. And so I guess my question from a practical, technical process standpoint is, what will it take to get the board chair to sign off on this letter? How long is it going to take for the AG's office to take a look at it? That's just a real practical question for us because we don't want to miss this deadline.
Russo, do you have any comments to that question? They're generally very
No.
fast. I mean, I think our staff is very, especially when they know there's a looming deadline and
Okay.
funds, federal funds may be no guarantee, but our staff is. In Land Division, they have some of the best, they are probably one of our best staffs, and they do move things along. So,
Yeah, and it's a pretty simple letter, and it contemplates itself that the lease will be amended accordingly. So,
okay.
thank you. That's all I have. I'm not sure
Thank
if
you so much.
Lori has something to say, but.
Lori Jordan, did you want to add any comments?
Sure. Aloha, everyone. Lori Jordan, Director of Organizational Excellence with Hawaii Care Choices, Hospice of Hilo. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Board. Just to reiterate, we put this request in back in November of 2022, and were awarded in mid-September of this year. And so, with these two conditions written into the notice of award. And so, very grateful for your folks' consideration to making these, helping us with this with these requests. And if you folks have any other question about the process, happy to entertain those as well. So, mahalo for your time.
Thank you so much, Lori. Is there anyone else who'd like to provide comments?
Chair, I think I had a question for either Russell or Mr. Ye. I'm not sure which. By the board consenting to authorize chairperson to execute the landlord letter, does that in any way, maybe it's a question for the AG, does that in any way tie the chair and/or the board to any liabilities or future issues that may or may not arise?
This is me. I mean, I've looked at I'm not sure that you've seen the landlord letter of consent, but what that basically says is that DLNR or the board recognizes that there's this grant program funding that's occurring, that in the lease document that we will make sure that if there are any issues that come up with respect to the lease being defaulted on, that the federal government will be notified of that and whatever steps are being taken to make sure that that default does not continue. So that's the gist of it. I don't see a real issue in terms of liability from DLNR's standpoint. They just want to be notified of any issue that comes up.
Mr. Ye, correct me if I'm wrong, but it would also be a use restriction. It has to be for the intended use, will be for the continued operation of the hospice facility for the life, at
Correct.
least the life of the, in this case, would be the improvement being made, which is the replacement of the air conditioning system. So there would
Yes.
be that restriction.
Yeah, and as I understand, in speaking to Gordon previously, he indicated that there's been one or two instances where you've had similar situations that have been worked through,
We have.
possibly.
We
Yes.
have. I mean, the board has allowed these federal interests in the past for in connection with these kind of grants. It's very similar to what when you take out a private lessee would take out a mortgage, it commits the property at least for the term of the mortgage. Here, it's the replacement of the improvement that's being funded by the federal agency here.
Right. And in fact, I believe the notice of federal interest indicates that its interest will be subordinate to that of DLNR as a lessor.
That's my understanding. Because Russell, I believe we did something similar for Waianae
Probably,
Comprehensive Health
I think
Center.
so. I think so.
I remember that, and they don't get an interest in the land.
We've
Yeah,
done
they
it in the
just.
past, yes.
Yes, I do remember seeing that one, and we had raised similar questions.
Okay, so just so that it's on the record, so outside of user restrictions, any labor, work, and material associated with the project has nothing to do with the board, right? And or the chair.
Yeah,
Correct.
I mean it should be, and our leases generally provide for that. That the lessee, it'll be the lessee's responsibility for construction projects. We typically ask for a bond for that amount. I cannot recall in this particular. That's typically for your general lease. Here's a nonprofit one, so I don't have that lease in front of me, so I cannot be 100% sure. But all of that kind of stuff is usually going to be contracted for by the entity. And not so much signed off by the lessee. We wouldn't be signing off on the construction contracts or being responsible for that.
Okay, just making sure that chair and board are protected in this regard. Thank you.
Any other questions, board members? Is there anyone else on Zoom? Okay, I'll close public comments, board members.
I move that we approve item D5 as recommended by staff.
Chair, sorry.
I just have a suggestion because I'm not clear whether there's a le an amendment to the lease that also is required for this, the entirety of the action. But to the extent that there is, if that can be included in the recommendation, that if a lease amendment is necessary to carry this out,
Oh, I see.
that would also be part of that.
I amend my motion to include what you just said.
Okay,
Okay.
good enough. Good enough.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you.
Yep, thank you, Cindy. Okay, motion has been made. Do I have a second? Thank
Second.
you. Motion has been moved and seconded to approve item D5 with an amendment to add the additional language about potential amendment to a lease if necessary. All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Okay, motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much,
Thank
Mr.
you.
Ye and Ms. Jordan. Okay, we'll
Thank you
move
so
on to
much.
item D7.
7 and 8 will be taken by Rebecca Anderson if she's available.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, board members. For item D7, this is a request for grant of term non-exclusive easement, immediate right of entry, and revocable permit to William S. Chee, trustee of the William S. Chee Trust and WSC Capital LLC. It's for beach revetment purposes in Wailaiki. Pardon me. And so this is our standard request for an easement for a structure that is in place and has been in place for quite some time on this property. This board has heard a prior submittal that's very similar to this one. The structure in question is a rock revetment that was constructed in 1964 across the entire Mackay side of about 15 residential lots by Bishop Estate. At the time that the Kainani subdivision was originally developed for residential sale, and that was in 1964. Again, the board has approved two prior land dispositions for different parcels that are along the same revetment. One was in 2009, and one was in 2023. The 2009 easement has been the easement has been issued and is in place as a general lease. And for the 2023 easement request, the processing, it's been approved by the legislature and the governor, and the processing of the easement's ongoing. So this is one more parcel that's on this same revetment, and we're asking for an easement to run with this particular parcel.
Thank you very much, Rebecca. Board members, do you have any questions of Rebecca? Do we have any members on Zoom here to provide comments on D7? Okay, seeing none, I'll close public comments. Board members, is there a motion?
So moved.
D7? Okay, thank you, KV. There's a motion has been moved and seconded to approve item D7. All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Okay, motion passes unanimously. Item D8.
Thank you, Chair. Item D8 is this is another request for an easement. Again, it's this is a grant of a non-term, non-exclusive easement, immediate right of entry, and revocable permit to Soichiro Fukutake, trustee of the Soichiro Fukutake Revocable Living Trust, for a seawall, for the seawall footing, excuse me, for a structure that's fronting a house in the Waikiki region. And this seawall has also been in place. This is not the same revetment as the prior submittal. However, this is a basalt and masonry seawall that's been in place for, again, quite some time, definitely predating the current ownership of the house. It's been found to be non-conforming by OCCL, and OCCL's analysis also showed that because the surrounding coastline is mostly a basalt rock coastline, not a sandy beach, that there's really not a noticeable detrimental effect of the presence of this seawall and the footing. The footing is what we're asking for the easement for, because that's the part that encroaches into state submerged lands. Again, OCCL determined that the standards of Chapter 205A and 183C and OCCL's evaluation criteria support a 25-year easement for this structure, and Land Division concurs. Are there any questions about this one?
I
Yeah,
guess
Rebecca.
so
Oh,
oh,
sorry,
go
Sarah.
ahead. No, go
Sure.
ahead, Katie. Go ahead.
Rebecca, do we know when the wall was built?
The wall seems to have been constructed at some point before 1964. We did not have a building permit cover, but OCCL did determine, based on additional evidence, that it was in place before the shoreline development prohibitions were in place. So that's how they
Thank you.
decided it was nonconforming. Thank you.
Thank you. But I was actually going to try and tease out, did Shifty weigh in on this as a historic property?
No. Shipti did not comment on this, and let's see, the agencies that did comment were let's see, OCCL and the Department of Planning and Permitting of the City and County. City and County Parks and Rec, Department of Facilities Maintenance did not comment, did not submit their comments after the request, and OHA did also did not submit comments after a request.
Okay, but did we request from Shifty?
No, we didn't. That's not generally a standard request, in case, unless there is some indication that would be needed. But in the future, I can include a SHPTE request in the shoreline easement request if that's something the board would like to see.
Well, I mean, I just for me, I mean, it's a historic property, and as these, whatever seawall conditions, they've been coming up hot and heavy, and I think we're going to have to try and coordinate and think about how we're going to do this. So I think having more information than less is better in the future. Just a thought.
I definitely agree with that. As to the condition of the wall, we did request and we received an analysis from OCCL from a Sea Grant agent, and the wall does appear to be structurally sound, and it doesn't appear to have any imminent I any indications that it would imminently not be structurally sound.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And Rebecca, I just want to confirm the
Yes.
shoreline seems to be fairly stable. It's a rocky shoreline, it's not a sandy beach. And there seems to, and just based upon OCCL's comments, there does not seem to be any impacts to climate change or shoreline erosion in this particular area. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. This area of the coastline is characterized by basalt rock cliffs and not by sandy beach. There was no evidence that there is or was a sandy beach in this particular area, according to OCCL's analysis. And the basalt rock of which the seawall and the footing are built seems to be very, very similar. It could be the same, we don't know. Is very, very similar to the basalt rock that's naturally present in the shore on the shoreline.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, board members, are there anybody here to make a comment? Nobody on Zoom. Okay, public comments closed. Board, do I members have a motion?
So
Item
moved.
D8.
Evie.
So
Okay,
moved.
Evie moved. Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion has been moved and second to approve item D8. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, Amy, your hand is not up. Are you opposing?
Yes.
Okay, so we have six. You want to do a roll call? Okay, let's do a roll call vote. Okay, Penny?
Member Smith?
Aye.
Member Ono?
Aye.
Member Yoon?
Aye.
Member Barnes?
No.
Member Kanto?
Aye.
Member Chow?
Yes.
Member Chen?
Aye. Okay, the motion passes 6-1. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much, Land Division. Greatly appreciate. The
Thank you,
last
Chair.
item is K1. I do believe we received a petition for contested case.
Okay, it went directly to you then, but that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen it, but we heard rumors.
No, there was it was filed.
Oh.
It was filed, right? I didn't make that up, I promise.
Oh, that's...
It was filed as a comment letter
Ah, all right.
for public testimony.
Okay. From the landowner?
Yeah, from the landowner, from Mr.
Silva.
Silva.
No, it was another.
totally off. Then.
Sanjara.
So that was 2 weeks ago. I do have that one.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe yes. That's why. Yeah, I apologize. Sanjara was 2 weeks ago. My mistake.
Okay, forget about
Forget about that. Forget about that. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
So anyway, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Board members, Michael Kane, Administrator, Office of Conservation and Coastal Lands. Item K1 is an enforcement case. We're requesting administrative fines and other penalties against Juan and Judith Silva. Case HA24-23 regarding what we allege are unauthorized modifications to a single family residence, as well as placement of accessory structures in the conservation district at the subject parcel. I decided I need to do this in 5 minutes. So let me give you the quick.
Actually, version. You have less than that, but go ahead.
I believe the time either Mr. and Mrs. Silva are also.
Yes,
online.
I see Judy Silva.
Okay.
On the line.
Thank you. So, quick history of this parcel. In 2001, previous landowners had secured a permit for agricultural uses from the board. In 2005, we learned that a residence had been built. And a picture of this residence is on page 15. That's exhibit 2. So this is 2005. We opened a violation case. That case was finally closed in 2009. The landowner paid a $650 fine and secured an after-the-fact permit for a 1,067 square foot residence. We understand the parcel was subsequently sold to a new buyer. And then in 2023, we began receiving calls from people interested in buying the property. So we looked into it. On page 16, exhibit 2, we saw that this residence is now on the property. What we estimate is a 3,390 square foot residence built sometime after 2020. Mm. And no permits with us, no record of correspondence with us. We have found no records. Even the county tax site still lists the 1,067 square foot residence. Mm. So this is new for me, so it's new for this board. Generally, we have people adding a living room without a permit, you know, or converting a shed without a permit. We've never had a house that was built without a permit. So our recommended fines are outlined on page 10, and we're asking for individual fines against each element of this development for a total of, and we've itemized them there, I won't read through them. The total is $85,000. We're asking that the board authorize the Department of the Attorney General to file a notice of pendency of action with the deed. And finally, we're asking that the board make a choice. On page 11, you'll see 3A and 3B. Option 3A is order the De Silvas to remove the unauthorized house. Wow. Option 3B would be to give them the option to pursue an after-the-fact conservation district use permit that covers all current uses and addresses what happened to the previous permit for that included native forest restoration, dryland kalo, etc. We're going to leave that up to the board to deliberate. Again, I don't have precedence for a case like this that I can build on. And then our other conditions 4 through 8 are standard enforcement conditions that we'll leave it to the chair to effectuate, etc. Sorry. With that, I'd like to take a pause. That's my presentation.
Oh, okay. Yes, I see Judy Silva. So I just want to confirm, Michael, the property is zoned conservation.
Correct. It's in the general subzone.
And it is also, there that is fully has been disclosed on the property deed and the county zoning. That is conservation.
Correct.
All right. Okay.
I'm sorry. Darth Hilo.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Michael.
Yes.
Sorry. Michael, as far as the fine amounts, are those the max amounts or?
That's the maximum amount we were able to calculate based upon. We've included a quick discussion of the rules of the penalty schedule on page 6, like what our rules allow us, the penalties it authorizes us to pursue. And then right. Condition 1 kind of itemizes how we made that assessment. So this is the maximum that we came up with.
In addition to the fine, it's removal.
Removal or secure after the fact permit. Okay. And I guess I should note previous board decisions, not your board, but boards in general, have said file for an after the fact permit. And they file for the permit and don't get it and technically have resolved the violation. So we're stressing now when we come to the board that after the fact permit needs to secure the permit.
Yeah, Michael. And then my second question was, if the board does go with 3B, which I won't say anything yet, but if the board goes with 3B, the ATF, an ATF has already been filed already, right? From the previous project. Is that correct?
Correct.
So this would be the second ATF that the board is going to contemplate.
For this parcel, correct.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
I do see Judy Silva. You can unmute yourself.
Okay, while she's unmuting herself, can I ask my own question? Please. So Michael, you gave a timeline of the changes and stuff now. Fail date, when was that? Was this the current owners now?
The warranty deed was recorded in 2020 under the current owner. Based upon using Google Earth imagery, we were able to conclude that this structure was built sometime after that.
Okay.
Judy Silva?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Okay. Did you want to provide us a comment?
Yes, I'm also here with my husband, Juan Silva.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, we did put additions onto the existing home that we purchased. However, we never put in, what was this? After the fact, we never put it after the fact in. We'd like to, obviously, we understand we did like to amend this and go for an after the fact and do whatever we need to have done, to get right. The fees, if we can negotiate the fees or the fines, I'd like to also bring that to the board as well. Thank you.
So Ms. Silva, did you and your husband build the home?
No, not the initial structure, no ma'am.
Did you build any part of the structure that's on the site now?
Yes, ma'am, we did the addition. There was a carport in, and so we took that carport and extended it and enclosed it and then added a garage.
Did you know when you bought the property that it was zone conservation?
We were told part of it was conservation, but I didn't know which part of it. I was told that it was the Coa Forest way behind us. We have 11 acres, so it wasn't anywhere near the house. The structure that we did put in was, like I said, already there. We added on to where it was already flat, where the house was. So we didn't do any damage. We didn't think.
Sure. So is the after the fact filed with the county of Big Island or with
OCTL?
If I can address that in general, the board can authorize an after the fact permit for a structure that was built without a permit. And after the fact refers to the fact that they're now applying after something was built.
Yeah.
So there was an after-the-fact permit for the original structure on page 15, and that closed that case.
Sorry, before this goes any further, I back up here for a second. Ms. Silva, is it true that you don't have a county building permit?
That's correct, yes, sir. I do not.
How? Okay, so in your mind, when you start building these things, I guess what I'm saying is I don't buy ignorance. I mean, to build anything anywhere, any state in the United States, you need a building permit. So before we get to the after the fact permit of the CDUP or a CDUP, you got some larger issues to deal with. Your house is a non-conforming structure. So I'm not sure how you want us to negotiate. In my mind, there is no negotiation. We have a non-compliant structure on state land, in conservation land. We cannot put ourselves in a legally untenable position and contemplate an ATF when we have an illegal structure.
So,
what I'm saying is, aside from the fact that you're in conservation district and you may or may not have known that you were in a district or the extent of where you could, what you could do, I find that hard to believe, because anytime you buy a piece of property or a car, you should know what your encumbrances are. So ignorance is not an excuse. But even if we were to grant your ignorance, we in practice cannot proceed with the ATF because you have an illegal structure, period.
So what would you recommend, sir? Do we not?
Our jurisdiction, Mr. Silva, our jurisdiction is only as it pertains to the conservation district, right? What I'm saying is you have a county violation, a building code violation. And we cannot, in effect, say anything really other than no to an ATF from our side, because you have a non-conforming and illegal structure on the land. So if we were to magically somehow say, okay, we're willing to contemplate an ATF, you know, file for the CDUP, we would be complicit in what's currently a non-conforming structure, an illegal structure. And okay. I don't know what the other board members are. I don't want to be complicit to find something like that.
Michael, is the whole property in conservation?
Yes, according to our records.
Can I make a statement, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
Please, thank you. So according to page 11, that the board authorizes one of the following options, A or B, sounds like B was never an option. So what you're asking is, so we can't, you're not in a position to offer us the after the fact CDUA. So looks like the only option we do have is A. I mean, you, according to this, you gave us an option and we would like to see an ATF CDUA. But if you're saying no, you cannot, then our only option is to then just.
Let's see what.
So, Mr. Silva, let me be clear.
Please.
When you say you, the board has nothing to do with the staff recommendation. So I'm also at the same time, I guess, informing the staff that should have, you know, kindly, that should have been part of the submittal, that in effect, that's not really an option.
Okay.
And then now let's go. Sorry, Mr. Silva, back to 3A. Let's just pretend magically that you're going to try and demolish parts or portions of the structure that are non-compliant. You're going to have to file for a demo permit.
Understood.
And that's when the DPP is going to flag you and say, well you have a non-conforming. So this thing is very wrapped up right now. It's very messy. So I know that it's not good news to Mr. and Mrs. Silva, but I just wanted to be honest as to where we're at and kind of what should be contemplated. Thank you.
So Michael, is any portion of the home permitted? Could you find any records that any portion of that, because what
what was built in on page 15,
right.
2006, looks like a very small structure.
Correct. It was basically an agricultural shed.
Right. That's what it looks like. So was any part of what's on page 16, was any part of that permitted?
In theory, the 1,000 square foot structure could be inside of this 3,000 square foot structure. I can't. It's possible they just added 2,000 feet on to the 1,000, tripled it in size. So I'm not hedging. I don't know if this is completely torn down or just built around and not visible.
It was built to it. It was added to the, if you look at Exhibit 3, itself is the original structure. We just added to added the garage and as well as
enclosed the family carport. Room. So this is a carport on the left? No.
This is the unit.
When did you purchase the property?
20?
Yeah, around 2020.
Yes, ma'am.
The deed should be in here.
2020.
Yes, ma'am. 2020.
Do you know whether when you purchased the property, there were any outstanding violations on the property?
Not that we know of.
Well, we did when you purchased the resident, that should have been something that if they had flagged it, we would have been aware of, I would assume. But so as far as we knew, there was no paperwork or anything to say any red flags, if that's what you're asking.
They issued them a warranty. You got a warranty deed?
One moment, ma'am.
I see Exhibit 4 is a warranty deed.
What's a warranty?
Okay, so I see it here, warranty deed. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So somebody must have.
I'm not sure. Honestly, I do not. I'll have to find out what the term warranty deed. I know the word deed, but what does warranty deed mean?
Honestly, that means that the owner warrants and defends that you have clean title. And I'm not too sure if they're required to do, I don't know, Vernon, are they required to also do make sure you're in compliance with all that there's no violations?
So the original violation was closed in 2009. So roughly 10 years before the data sale.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, this property, what the structure that was the additional property structure, was it, did it have any permits?
Not that we can find.
Not that we can find, okay. Yeah.
So I pulled up the county real property tax. And so it permitted is 1,068 square foot building. And in 2021, there was a solar hot water heater permit approved. And there was a shed approved in 2003 and a storage building approved in 2002. But nothing at 3,000 square feet. And the various things that the staff identified as being violations of construction in the conservation district are not permitted either.
Okay. All right. Any additional questions? Anything else you want to add, Mr. and Mrs. Silva?
Well, we're at, whatever the board decides, we'll have to comply. Is one of the areas we just wasn't fully aware. And like the gentleman said, ignorance was unfortunate in our end. We bought the property from
off-grid. We thought
off-grid.
We were told it was okay.
We felt that it was an off-grid, and you're right that there are permits for everything nowadays, but we did not know the extent of what restrictions, and honestly, I don't remember whether we even talked about conservation land at the time. We bought the property, we thought it was ours. I'd be straight. This is what we believed, and we acted upon that, and $500,000 later, what you see are, because we have a family, we have children, and that.
Can I ask you, how much did you pay for it?
It was $550,000 US dollars.
At least $500,000 to
defend. Yeah. the entire build. So we added to the a structure that we believed was, I guess, legal. We bought it as thought that it was legal. And
Mr. Silva. So okay, the structure that was there, you assume it's legal. The second you start nailing boards together and doing the addition,
yes,
it didn't occur to you to file for a building permit?
No, because we were told it was an off-grid home and that we could just build on it because it is off-grid. That's
again.
What does that mean? You don't have sewer? You don't have electrical?
We do, but well, it's all
okay. So it's not off-grid. So, but what I'm trying to trying to point out is, if you had filed for the building permit,
yes,
at that moment, they would have told you you're in a conservation district and that you cannot.
Well, we did not know that part. The unit did have. When we got there, it had solar system, it had water tank, it had a sewer system. I mean, we bought this from the mainland, virtual, and we did have our realtor look at it, and the previous owner's realtor, and I mean, if there was a lot of issues that would have been brought up, none of that would have told us what we couldn't do. So we just acted upon what we believed was we believed we built it to code. We did a lot of research and so there wasn't like we just slapped things together. We analyzed the number of lumber, everything was taken into.
So Mr. Silva, when you said you built it to code, what do you mean by that?
Well,
there's an assumption that there's a code, but you're saying you're off grid.
My apologies. With the advent of the internet, we could easily determine, okay, what do we have to have for a wall? We have to have every 12 to 16 inches off center. You know, there was a lot of things that was easily available to us to decide to build. Again, we didn't do this in accordance with the rules. And so we understand we are in the wrong.
Did you have a contractor build it or did you build it?
We built it. And
we had help.
So we did. We were the builders. And so, and again, mechanically, I didn't believe that we were doing anything incorrectly. We did extend because we had minor children at the time.
Okay. Sorry, Mr. Silva, before. Okay. So, may I ask where you guys are from?
We're military stationed in Florida at the time.
Okay, so you're military in Florida, and Florida has building codes.
Yeah, but we bought it. Right? We purchased a home. We purchased the home in an HOA cul-de-sac, which is very typical with the Pensacola, Florida area. So we did not
know. Yeah.
We didn't know anything.
So you know what? Okay, I mean this is germane. Florida, just God bless the people in the hurricane. There are building codes for a reason. And if you're saying you didn't have a licensed architect, engineer, or contractor build your house, should a storm come through, your house is toast. That's the problem.
I understand.
Right. So it's not the board or me trying to be unfair. This is a matter of life and safety. So it's very concerning to me that you have a non-conforming structure on your site that you put together by yourself. And there's a reason why codes exist. The second thing is your military, right? You said you served in the military. How is it possible military personnel don't know that there are codes, building codes?
Again, we were ignorant on that fully. I mean, so we're not going to say that we knew what we were doing. We just, things as they progressed, we knew how to, their books, there were so many different things. Again, the only thing we failed was to inform the authorities.
Michael and Trevor, I saw Trevor's hand.
We're actually going to address the same issue.
Okay,
go ahead. So I do need to refer to the board to also page 9, the second paragraph, regarding cesspools.
Yeah.
Since we are talking about building to code, the Department of Health inspectors have indicated that that cesspool would have required an upgrade. So I need to question whether this, even the additions were built to code. Thank you.
We did not do anything to the, we did not add any plumbing, new plumbing. So we did not tamper with the cesspool. We didn't add any plumbing. No. All we did was add electrical to the unit.
Just upgraded the electrical.
Yeah. I mean, there's no plumbing.
Okay. Okay. All right. Do you have anything else, Ryan?
Question for Michael.
Yes.
Okay. So, Michael, what did you say Department of Health said? They said that the cesspool is what?
I might lean on Trevor to back me up on this one, that this would have required an upgrade.
It would have to convert to a septic.
Right, for a residence this size.
Yeah.
What would have triggered conversion from a cesspool? Because cesspools are still legal. It's just that if you change the land use, or if the flow is to a certain degree, you have to convert it to an IWS. But an existing cesspool without any other changes is still legal.
Sorry, Riley, if I can, Trevor Fitzpatrick, staff planner with OCCL. Conversations I've had with DOH is the addition of two rooms. If you look on page 40, and I think there's a bigger floor plan sketch that was attached to the redfit.com advertisement, the addition of two rooms would have required from DOH some the cesspool being addressed. And as the staff report point,
Yeah, I didn't understand that the criteria, the trigger was that more rooms were added that were not permitted. So technically in the county records, those rooms don't exist, even though they physically are built.
Right.
So a legal cesspool in 2005 is still a legal cesspool.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Okay. Board members. I'm Mr. and Mrs. Silva, I'll give you a five. Let me just go on. Is there anything else? I don't see anybody else here on public comments.
No, ma'am.
Okay. Board, I'll close public comments.
Motion.
Yes.
Okay. I move that, as recommended by staff, that the board approves item number one, subsections A to J, for a fine of $85,000. Item two, that the board authorize the Department Attorney General to file a notice of pendency action, and that we go with option 3A.
The removal of all unauthorized structures.
Second. Also, I'd like to add that I would ask that when this decision is finalized, that the County Real Property Tax Office be informed of the numerous violations that have occurred on this property.
Right. Okay. Do you have a second for a discussion?
Second.
Oh, okay, sorry. I thank you. So I would just want to add to this that there be an additional condition that they must get a be in compliance with any county requirement. Well, back, so removal of the structures of all unauthorized structures. And then they still need to get a, in my mind, get a clearance from the county building department on that their property. So how would that work? I guess I'm trying to
notify
the county.
Oh, is that what you do, Kaivi? What was?
Yeah. So what they would have to do is prepare a demolition permit set. And please, Mr. and Mrs. Silva, you can't do this yourself.
No, okay?
I'm telling you right now, get a licensed architect or someone, an engineer, put the demolition permit together, submit it to the county, at which point they're going to flag you for non-conforming structures. And then that's probably going to take you 8 months to a year. Okay. So we're looking about 8 months to a year out. And I'm talking to the board now, that any real action or any real resolve to condition 3A will not be effectuated, more than likely another year will go by. So that's just the state of affairs now. But that's, Mr. and Mrs. Silva, basically what you have to do. And again, like an attorney, you know, I can't advise you. You have to go seek professional you know, licensed architect or engineer.
Will do.
Get proper.
Oh, and maybe in addition to that, they need to be licensed in Hawaii.
Yes.
Architect and engineer.
Yes.
So Mr. and Mrs. Silva, the consequence of what the board is contemplating is you may end up losing most of the residents.
So ma'am, there's no way we can make this legal? Have a builder, the building, what is it, the county building people to come out and
make it legal?
Make it legal?
You don't know.
They're not gonna find it in conformance.
What if they
neither of you neither please listen. Neither of you are licensed in any building trade or field. So no one is going to say, okay, looks good, because then they're liable and the insurance companies are liable, which is not going to happen. So this is the unfortunate outcome of people who decide to do things DIY at such a large scale. You know, it's not like putting together a kitchen cabinet, okay? You guys put together a whole another home.
2,000 square feet.
Yeah, that's significant. So, you know, I hate being the bearer of bad news, but I'm just trying to be honest so that you go in eyes wide open this time and understand, you know, what you're looking at.
Paul, thank you, Kirby. So, ma'am, I think it'd be in your best interest to get a hold of the county of Hawaii, you know, and get it from them, hear it from them. Because we're going to take you around in circles and we bear truth to what you need to do, but you need to hear it from the Big Island, the county of Hawaii.
Will do. Will do.
And so there will be, so part of this the board's action is there'll be a lien placed on your property. So any sale, any transactions, this lien will come up, and we won't even begin to entertain a future permit from you for use of conservation district lands until you're in full compliance, which means removal of all unauthorized structures, compliance with the county of Hawaii. And if you're planning on expanding DOH, so, I mean, this is quite, I'm sure in your minds, and maybe perhaps you don't have, you're trying to figure out what does this all mean, but this is quite significant. You will lose at least 2,000 feet of your the residential property.
If we can bring it back to its original, basically to its original configuration.
I'm not sure if you can do that without affecting the structural integrity of that original structure.
But we'll
giving legal or
fair enough.
Professional advice.
Fair enough.
Yeah, we will.
That's a good point.
Speak professional, get a demo permit submitted to the county, as you stated. And we'll go from there.
But what do we demo? I'm confused.
We're gonna have to demo the entire.
She's confused. Yeah, too much. I will want to add in as a condition that that OCCL conduct at least every month or every 2 months a status update from the Silvas on where they are in compliance with the board. With the board's action,
Chair,
so that we're not waiting for a year from now.
That one
involved in law? Is Shifty involved in this?
Not that I know of.
No.
Why? Okay. What would they be involved? Do you?
No, I'm just wondering if they were.
No, this wasn't a historic structure.
So it's probably lava. Is it lava land? No,
this is an agricultural area.
Agriculture.
Former Hamakua sugar lands.
Wait, okay. When was the original house or the structure built? The first one?
2003.
We didn't hear you.
Okay.
Should be so good.
Okay, so motion has been made and seconded. And I do want to make that amendment of paragraph 9 that OCCL be required to get regular monthly updates from the Silvas on where they are. If they are not moving in a timely fashion, then at least letting the chairperson know.
I have a question, ma'am.
Yes. I'll normally we don't take questions once we've closed, but go ahead.
I'm sorry, I wasn't sure you
No.
Can we reduce the fines then at least by half?
So may I?
Yes.
So this is Silva condition 3AI. What the board is voting on will allow you to use your fines as credit against the cost of removal. So that's the proposal that we have made that's in our recommendation. Sorry.
Thank you.
Do we have drones on Hawaii Island to review?
I have a drone that I can carry.
Okay. We'll have Riley go out and do a double check.
I don't remember.
Okay. All right. Board, is there any other discussion? Okay.
I have a question.
Do we need to formally amend the motion then?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Let's see if there's...
As amended.
Okay.
And then you mentioned something about the lien on the property.
Yes. So I think...
After.
I think that will happen on paragraph number 2, after the Attorney General files a notice of pendency of action. Is that, Cynthia, is that going to amount to a lien on the property? A notice of pendency of action?
Probably a better question for Miranda or Danica, but I think it's
okay, so sorry. My understanding is that the board has the power to authorize liens for non-compliance with an enforcement case. So if we are able to show compliance, we would close the case and not ask the board to place a lien on the property.
But we have found the board has found non-compliance.
But yeah, the board right now is making a finding that there was a violation.
Yes.
And offering redress, saying the Silvas can resolve it through these actions. So if the Silvas follow the board's recommendation, not the board's recommendation, decision, then that resolves the violation.
So Michael, technically yes. What you're saying is true. And then, so you're saying that our vote is somewhat of a cure, but I would still push back and argue saying they are not in compliance because they don't have a building permit.
Right.
So until they have the permits in place, right, then we can effectuate even if we wanted to do an ATF or CDUP at that point.
Right.
But until then, a lien has to be placed on there because, you know, what assurance does the board have?
I guess to Chair's question, what number 2 is it would show if the property were to be transferred, sold, or what have you, that any future owner would know because it would be filed with the Bureau of Conveyances. And that's what number 2 says. So yes, there would be notice.
But it's also beyond the notice because if it's a lien, then and we have filed our lien and we have priority, then any proceeds from a sale, although the new buyer is aware, we would be able to recover at least some costs, right? If there's a lien on, do we need to go for a judgment in order to place a lien?
Generally, yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I was worried about too. But maybe so long as there's notice, so any buyer who purchases it, if they do, they're aware of what they're purchasing and they're standing in the shoes and they would still have to do this corrective action, right? Yeah, okay. So I think the notice of pendency of action would be equivalent to, it runs with this parcel, whoever owns it. I think that's what, I think that accomplishes what I want.
Go back to school for real estate law. I know condition number two has been developed with the Attorney General's office to address these questions.
Oh, okay.
Without being able to explain it.
Okay. Fully. Okay. I think that would be okay.
Michael, can you keep? Yeah, Michael, can you keep the board informed as to any potential future land dispositions, if any?
Yes.
Thank you.
By telling the chair.
No, but how will you know if there's a land transaction?
Oh, well, if it's filed.
You're asking me or?
No, I'm asking Michael. He said he will, but I'm wondering how will he know? I mean, we're asking for monthly reports. So that will give us an update, but how will you know that there's a sales transaction? Because I'm assuming that's what KEV is asking you.
I'm giving away my secrets. For our other properties, we just track them on Redfin, and I get an email when Charlotte properties have gone for sale.
I didn't know about that. Okay.
Okay, Chair, that's enough. Chair, that's enough.
Okay.
I know Michael knows how to find or track it. Okay.
Okay. I didn't know anything about that. Okay. Good enough. All right. With that being said, is there any other further discussion?
Chair, I would just say that I think this is the right decision. And also, I just want to acknowledge that it must be very difficult news for the Silvas to accept. And I want to thank them for engaging with us with politeness and respect, even while receiving this very difficult news. We certainly have had other decisions like this where we have not been met with that kind of respect. So thank you. And I'm really sorry that this is the news that we're delivering to you today. I imagine it is really hard to swallow.
Thank you very much, Board Member Barnes. That's a thoughtful comment. All right. Seeing no other discussion, board members, I will call for the vote. The motion has been moved and seconded to approve staff's recommendation with an amendment that the OCCL receive monthly report status updates from the Silvas on compliance with the board's decision, board's action. Okay. With that being said, all in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Mr. and Mrs. Silva, for joining us on this call. As Board Member Barnes said, I'm sure you were not prepared for the board's action, but I'm hoping you begin to understand how seriously the board takes non-compliance with conservation district rules, which are in place for particular reasons. But thank you for participating with us. And with that, that is the final business before this board. I will now adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much.
I was going to ask a question like off the record. Why do you sell land that is conservation?